This is Chiapas, una historia de la opresión, la lucha y la esperanza. We will be listening to some students' perspectives from the trip, as well as some last remarks.
This is Amanda. And I think one of the things that stood out the most in Chiapas and all the different NGOs that we visited was the way that they all work together in networks, and they seem to have a more horizontal leadership style. And I was also impacted by the way that almost everywhere we went, they incorporated a connection to the environment, and they prioritized that, which was different to see. I feel like even the best of NGOs in the United States, like, they don't have the environment at the core of their principles, even if everything else that they do is good work. So I think that's important to keep in mind.
My name is David Barias Chon. Okay, some takeaways was the Chiapas and Guatemala are very similar, the people there. Like, I was surprised that that their attire was very similar to the attire that is from Guatemala. So that kind of surprised me.
And what connection do you have to Guatemala?
Oh, so I was born in Palin, Escuintla, Guatemala. So growing up there, I would see people, and some of my family members wear it's called faja. We call it faja, the skirt that the women have. And the wraparound belt is a faja, and the skirt is called a corte. And the corte was very similar, yeah. So that was surprising. So I felt like I was at home. So it was kind of a jarring experience. It also surprised me that Chiapas used to be part of Guatemala. So back in the day, there was a Capitania, which is basically like a United Nations that included Guatemala and Central American countries, and Chiapas was part of that. So that was surprising to me, and that didn't become part of the Mexican state until later on, after Mexican independence. So that was another something that was I wasn't aware of. So that was I was aware of the Capitania, but not that Chiapas was part of that. Another important takeaway was the visit to Sidesi and the discussion of the Zapatistas. I like the idea of self-autonomy. I think that's really important. And local governance, I think that works well with indigenous communities. And I'm a big believer of local governance. So that was another important takeaway. I think it was just reinforced. And I like the message that those kinds of movements are not to be duplicated or replicated in other parts, because if we believe in self-autonomy, that means that each local government or people, communities, are going to imagine their own ways of being autonomous. So we can't impose those kinds of things into in like larger communities, or let's say in the US, right? It can be imposed in that way, because it goes against, you know, values and beliefs of self-autonomy, especially because you have indigenous communities who may not want whose views of self-autonomy might be different, right?
Hi, my name is Sam Bellier. I'm a part-time student in the Graduate School of Social Work. And some of my experiences on this trip that I want to share. So what I plan to go into is corrections social work, so working with populations that are incarcerated as U.S. citizens as well as immigrant detainees. And one of the things I found really interesting was when we had the talk with the about the Zapatista movement and how they don't have prisons in most of their different communities. And it's an interesting concept because we have so many prisons and the highest prison population in the world. We have, our prison population makes up 25% of the world, where we as a country only make up 5% of the whole population. 25% of the people that are incarcerated are U.S. people. And I think that has been a way to make money for certain corporations in the U.S., and it's been very privatized. And it was interesting to hear from the perspective of the Zapatistas and how they work. They work to actually find justice for people who have had crimes committed against them. And they talked about how when there are two people and one person has committed a crime against another person, how they have to work together to come up with a solution. So the victim has to decide what works for them, and then the perpetrator also has to agree to that. And it can take days or weeks, however long it takes, and they let that process take the time because it's really about finding justice and not just about punishment. So that was really powerful for me to take into going back to the U.S. and trying to work with incarcerated populations and trying to find ways that actually make people safe and help people to re-enter into the communities back in the U.S.
Hello, my name is Christina, and I am part of the Graduate School of Social Work. One of the most impactful things that I found in this Chiapas trip was that the amount of similarities that Chiapas has with us. For example, there are places in Mexico, most of Mexico, that the water can't be used because it's contaminated. That reminded me of Flint, Michigan, and how those communities around there are minority communities, and the communities here that don't have clean water are the indigenous communities. The second part is the protection for the environment. Here people want to protect their environment, their water, and their lands, and not just give it to capitalist companies, and that is similar to the United States. For example, Standing Rock, that was another similarity. And last, I think that the issues that this state has are universal. We're not the only ones that have issues with immigration and environmental issues, poverty issues, hunger issues. So that was really interesting to see.
I think for me, one of the most impactful parts of this trip to Chiapas was this word that we kept using over and over again, convivir. Vamos a convivir con esa comunidad. And so I looked up what convivir means in English, and I feel that the translation actually doesn't really capture it. It says convivir means to live together, to coexist, but I think on this trip we utilized this word more as we're going to learn from each other, and we're going to pass time together, and we're going to celebrate together and enjoy together and do life together. It's kind of a word of fellowship and community, at least that's the way it was used on this trip. I think for me the clearest example of that was when we went and visited El Frente Popular, the mining community down on the coast, and we spent a day of convivir with them, and they invited us to share their river with them because they had successfully managed to save this river from the horrible influence and use of mining companies. And so they wanted to celebrate their clean water with us, and they invited us to thank their river and to enjoy its clean water and to just spend time celebrating that with them. And for me, that's something I will never forget. That's a story I think I will tell my grandchildren because it was just so beautiful to be able to swim and play in the river and just truly see up close how much it meant to the community. So for me, that was one of the most special and impactful moments of the trip.
So after this trip, it was important that instead of just learning what we learned in Mexico and then coming home and continuing to live the way that we did, we think it's really important that we actually take what we learned and apply it to our lives. So we also have some action items for our listeners and also goals for ourselves. And one thing that we want to emphasize is that we want everyone to be aware of where your resources come from. And it's important that you don't just recycle your things, but you reduce your consumption in the first place. Because as we could see from Frente Popular, the mining community, the resources that are necessary to make the things that we buy contaminates the resources for them. Research the companies that you buy from. So where do they get their resources from, and what kind of impact do they have on the environment where they get those resources from? As well as just spreading awareness of issues like mining in Chiapas can also provide a better way of living for these communities. Additionally, with organizations like DJPC, you can go out and process situations like this, and it's easy as just getting involved. We would also like to thank the organizations who made this possible. DU Immigrant and Refugee Rights Colectivo, the Graduate School of Social Work at the University of Denver, the Denver Justice and Peace Committee, and all of the organizations that we visited in Chiapas. We also encourage you to follow them on social media to stay up to date on these issues. Thank you for listening to our last episode of this series. We may also record bonus episodes as more updates come up from these issues. Please rate, review, and tell your friends. With your support, we can continue sharing the stories from Chiapas and create change.